Psalm 17. This is the reading of God's Word. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry. Give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. Let my judgment come forth from your presence. Let your eyes look with equity. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. As for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips I have kept from the paths of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my speech. Wondrously show your loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand, from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. They have closed their unfeeling heart. With their mouth they speak proudly. They have now surrounded us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the ground. He is like a lion that is eager to tear, and as a young lion lurking in hiding places. Arise, O Lord, confront him. Bring him low. Deliver my soul from the wicked with your sword, from men with your hand, O Lord, from men of the world, whose portion is in this life, and whose belly you fill with your treasure. They are satisfied with children, and leave their abundance to their babes. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. We thank you that as we hear your word, by the work of your Spirit, that our faith will grow. We pray that there will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what he has done for us, what he has accomplished for us. And through your word, let us have fellowship with him. Pour out your grace that your word will be preached correctly. And let all of us who hear your word, let us understand, let us believe, and let us obey your word. Let us live for your glory. We pray that you will receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 17. It is a prayer of David, as the title says. It is an intense and desperate prayer. The author has been fleeing from the wicked people. And now he is surrounded by his enemies, and he is on the verge of certain death. And David did not do anything wrong. So he is appealing to God for his just and righteous judgment. The author is pleading with God to pour out his judgment upon the wicked and vindicate him and reveal his righteousness. Let us begin from verse 1. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Give heed to my cry, give ear to my prayer, which is not from deceitful lips. The words, hear, give heed, give ear, God hears the prayers of the righteous. This is true blessing. Verse 2, let my judgment come forth from your presence. Let your eyes look with equity. Let my vindication come from your presence. Let my sentence come forth from your presence. In other words, declare me innocent, God. Let your eyes look with equity. You see those who do right. Verse 3, you have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me and you find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. You have tried, you have visited, you have tested, but you found nothing. I determined not to sin with what I say. Verse 5, as for the deeds of men, by the word of your lips I have kept from the path of the violent. As for what others do, I have followed your commands, which kept me from following cruel and evil people. Verse 5, my steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I have followed you just as you have commanded, and I did not waver from following you. As you could see from verse 1 through 5 in our Psalms, a righteous person is appealing to God here. We are reminded of Job. He is appealing to God about the sufferings and persecutions, even though he did not do anything wrong. But unlike Job, David does not fight back against God. But obviously you understand that David is righteous according to the law. Just like what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 verse 9b, a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. According to that, Paul is, Philippians 3, 6, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Because law, Moses could only see the outward. He cannot see people's heart. And according to their outward judgment, these people are righteous. I mean, even that is way, way better than us. Verse 6, I have called upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me, hear my speech. David is confident that God will answer him. Yes, God hears the prayers of the righteous. Verse 7 through 9, wondrously show your loving kindness, O Savior of those who take refuge at your right hand from those who rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who despoil me, my deadly enemies who surround me. In verse 8, David says, keep me as an apple of the eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. We are reminded of Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10 through 11. He sustained him in a desert land, a howling wilderness waste. He shielded him, cared for him, guarded him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, as it spreads its wings, take them up and bears them aloft on its pinions. David is crying out to the same God who saved his people from the Egypt and led them to the promised land through the wilderness. Verse 10, they have closed their unfeeling heart, and their mouth they speak proudly. Literally, they are enclosed in their own fat. Psalm 119 verse 70, their hearts are fat and gross. Or NIV, their hearts are callous and unfeeling. Matthew chapter 13 verse 15, for this people's heart has grown dull or waxed fat. Their hearts have become callous. Thus they speak with arrogance. Verse 11, they have now surrounded us in our steps. They set their eyes to cast us down to the ground. They tread me down and surrounded me, looking for the chance to throw me to the ground. Verse 12, he is like a lion that is eager to tear, and as a young lion lurking in hiding places. Here, a lion is a picture of Satan. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Verse 13, arise, O Lord, confront him, bring him low, deliver my soul from the wicked with your sword. David pleads to God to pour out the judgment upon the wicked. Verse 14, from man with your hand, O Lord, from man of the world, whose portion is in this life, and whose belly you fill with your treasure. They are satisfied with children and leave their abundance to their babes. The wicked are the men of the world, whose portion is in this life. That's all for them. Completely different from Christians. Because our portion is God and His kingdom, heaven. But for the wicked, everything is about this world. And that's what drives them. That's their purpose. To have the things of the world. They seek after this world. Their belly is their king. And they are satisfied with their children and leaves. They leave things to this world. Leave things of this world to their children. And that's what their life is all about. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 19, Paul says it this way. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. But, verse 15, as for me, David says, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. See, the worldly people are like in verse 14, but David says, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Look at the contrast. Worldly people, their mind is set on the world. But Christians, like David, even though people will live the way that they live, they will not change. And we don't really care. I mean, we care enough to preach the gospel so that they could be saved. But how they live, what can we do? They live that way, but as for us, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. See, David possesses the truth. David has faith. Some people say that when David says, when I awake, he means the next day. Since verse 3 mentions night, David means the next morning when he gets up, we disagree. Here, David looks forward to the time of his resurrection. Even in the Old Testament, the true faith includes the belief in the resurrection of the body. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake, these to everlasting life, but the others to disgrace and everlasting contempt. This psalm is a psalm of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 24, verse 44b, Jesus says, all things which are written about me in the Psalms. See, Jesus is the righteous one. He never sinned. He is the only righteous one. So he's the only one who could truly sing this psalm. We already saw it, even from verse 1 through 5, only righteous can say those things to God. Jesus is the only one, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. So like what Psalm says, when Jesus prays to God, it's not coming from deceitful lips. But so many people wanted to kill him, even though he didn't do anything wrong. It's just who he is. People will hate him, and still does. And it is the same with us. It's not that you go out and deliberately do wrong things to people. But it's just about who you are, what you are in Jesus Christ. Especially when you open your mouth to tell this greatest news in the whole universe. And he was surrounded by the Roman soldiers and captured to be crucified on the cross. Yes, David is going through so much sufferings and persecutions. And David cries out to God. And some might even feel bad for David. But you see, David was so blessed by God, he was given the privilege to participate in the life of Jesus Christ. You need to realize as you are suffering and you are being persecuted because of your faith, it is most blessed time. God giving you an opportunity to witness your participation in the life of Christ. It's all about how you see things. Meaning that if you see things in God's perspective, if you see things by faith, everything is different. This is why you need to know the truth. Because if you judge by what you see with your physical eyes, then you will never know the truth. You will even never know what is really happening when God blessing you with an opportunity to witness your participation in the life of Christ. You don't see that, but you just see the bad situation and you complain because you don't know the truth. Don't feel bad for David here. He's so blessed. Because our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplication with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. Even Jesus cried with loud cries, with tears. And he was heard because of his piety. So whenever you find yourself in situation, You have to cry out to God with tears. Be happy. Even just little, if hour given by God, if opportunity is given by God, so that I could participate in His life, if I could witness my union with my Christ, that's not a bad thing. We're so blessed. See, people, they don't even know what they're talking about. They really don't know the truth. But you know the truth. Everything is controlled by God. Nothing happens apart from God's plan. And you need to ask yourself, why is this thing happening in my life? It's not because God is powerless. It's not because things are not according to His plan. You have to realize, well, my Lord lived that way. My Lord cried to God with tears. My Lord suffered, and He was persecuted. Huh? You appreciate God's work in you. We see the same situation in Psalm 17. We say that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God, and He never sinned. And the God, the Father, was pleased with all that Jesus has done. What event in His life proved all that is true? What event in His life clearly witnessed that He is righteous one? Well, it's His resurrection. Romans chapter 1 verse 4, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. When He was resurrected from the dead, it was very clear that He was righteous one. He never sinned. And everything that He has done for us, God the Father was so pleased with. By His resurrection, it was declared that He is truly the Son of God. See, you and I, we are the same. We are God's sons through our resurrection, through spiritual resurrection right now, and through bodily resurrection that reality will be visibly consummated. See, I'm spiritually resurrected. Obviously, it's not visible. But I believe. And the Bible tells me, by that resurrection, I am declared to be Son of God. Not the Son of God, but adopted Son of God in Jesus Christ. But when Jesus returns, my body, I am going to visibly resurrect. And that resurrection will clearly show to everyone that I am truly Son of God. Just like Jesus Christ. No, not God like Jesus. But we are Son of God in Him. See, in our psalm, David cried out to God to declare Him righteous. And that's what his prayers were, right? David was telling God, vindicate me. Show to other people that I'm in right with you. And he believes that God will do that at His resurrection. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. He will resurrect and see Jesus' face. And when that happens, all the sufferings will end, and all will see how righteous David is. It is the same with us. Our lives as Christians in this world are full of sufferings. But the day of resurrection will come. On that day, all will see that we are righteous sons of God. But we must remember that we are already resurrected spiritually. We are God's sons already in Jesus Christ. Thus, we are able to pray to God as His sons. As we read Psalm 17, realize and believe that we are the sons of God in the true Son, Jesus Christ. Only in Jesus Christ we are able to sing this psalm as our own. Because if I am truly resurrected spiritually, then I am righteous in His sight. So I could pray to God as a righteous person in Jesus Christ. Otherwise, how can we even say these things with our lips? But in Jesus Christ, we are able. We are able to pray our psalm as righteous sons of God. Man, just think about that for a minute. And realize how blessed you are. That you are able to sing this psalm as your own song. That you could say these things as the righteous sons of God. That is your reality. That is who you are. That is what is true of you. So be very happy as you read this psalm. As you utter, as you sing this psalm to God. We are in Christ able to come near to God and sing this psalm. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 18, "For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father." Hebrews 10 verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus." Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16a, "Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace." Romans chapter 8 verse 1, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ." Brothers and sisters, in verse 15, we see our heavenly reality. Memorize this verse. "As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied with your likeness when I wake up." I shall behold your face in righteousness. See, this is our ultimate purpose. See, you might have all kinds of purposes in your life, but you need to realize as a Christian, your purpose is to see our God. It is to behold the beauty of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is to behold His face forever. Man, any other purpose you might have is way, way below this main purpose that we have. And if your main purpose is not about seeing your God, then you are living a pitiful life. It's just nothing compared to be able to behold our God's face forever. And think about it. If I am beholding my God forever, That means I am right next to Him. I am with Him forever. Because I cannot behold anything that is far away from me. I cannot behold something I cannot see. Which means I will see Him from very near. I will be with Him and He with me. This is why we could endure this life. Because it is so positive that no matter how much we suffer, no matter how difficult time we might have to go through, we know that if we endure many years, and you know, I live already almost 60 years, man, it will go fast. Truly, you young people thinking that every year goes so slow, just wait. And if I endure, there will be a day when I will see Him face to face. And as I get older, 1 year older, I'm that much close to that day. Man, getting old is not that bad, you guys. Actually, I want to get old fast. And you guys think what is he talking about? Man, if you fall in love with someone, you know what I'm talking about. Because if you love somebody and you cannot see that person's face for certain time, duration of time, that's suffering. Do you understand? So what is wrong with that day approaching fast in my life? That day when I am able to see my Lord. Why is that bad? But see, this world will paint a different picture for you. That somehow, though, getting old is really bad. No, it's not. I have less years to endure than you. I consider that blessing. I have no lingering attachment. Why do I want to stay here any longer? Does that mean I'm going to go kill myself today? No. I will do my best in things that God has given me to do until that day. But I'm not going to be sad just because that day is near for me. So even as I have this dizziness and my body gets weak and realizing I'm getting old, and one, you know, big part of my heart is happy. And you guys, the world will think that is so ridiculous, having this kind of mindset. But you read the Bible. You look at all these people who love God. Look at what David says. His whole focus is that one day, as for me, I will see His face, your face, in righteousness. Brothers and sisters, our lives here in the world will be full of sufferings, but that day of resurrection will come. On that day, we all will see we are righteous sons of God. But we must remember that we are already resurrected spiritually. We are God's sons already in Jesus Christ. We are able to come near to God and sing this psalm as our psalm. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, no matter how much we suffer in this world, at the very moment when we see our Lord's face, all will be truly okay. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And beside you, I desire nothing on the earth. Revelation 22, verse 4. They will see his face. And David says, I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Our Lord's likeness. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate upon his temple. See, you might think to yourself that I'm going to be satisfied if I have this or I have that. That if I have this much money, or if I have this kind of house or that kind of whatever. You might even think that if I have this kind of husband or this kind of wife, then I'll be satisfied. But you need to realize something. See, as a Christian, our satisfaction is Jesus Christ. There's nothing out there will satisfy us. Oh, you might feel satisfied for a little while, but it will go away. I will be satisfied with your likeness, my Lord's likeness. My satisfaction is Jesus Christ. He will love us with his never-ending, abundant, rich, overflowing love. And we will have the eternal sweet fellowship of heaven with him. See, perfect satisfaction, perfect sufficiency, perfect joy, perfect happiness is Jesus Christ. All is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. His death on the cross, on which he was rejected by his Father. The Father turned his face away from Jesus Christ so that he will never turn his face away from us. Brothers and sisters, yes, our lives are filled with the sufferings. But remember, our lives here in this world is not forever. Our sufferings are not forever. Remember verse 15. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. Remember also that day reality has been, that reality has been already accomplished for us. You and I, we have been resurrected already. Yes, spiritually, visibly when he comes back. God has already called us righteous. The day is coming when we will see our Lord's face. And you know, when we see our Lord's face, what does that mean? We already talked about that means we are near him. But 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, behold, a beloved, now we are children of God, and he has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Which means when we behold his face, that means then that moment on and forever, I am like him. Just like him. We will be just like him. And all will see that we are the sons of God in the true Son, Jesus Christ. And at that time and forever after, we will be satisfied with Jesus as we see His face forever and ever. What would satisfy you? But if your answer is not Jesus, you are mistaken to think that something else will satisfy you. Jesus is our satisfaction. That's why life in heaven will be so satisfying. It's not because of, you know, some people think that heaven in terms of this world, so when you go to heaven, you will have a big house and, you know, diamonds and gold. That's not what Bible teaches, you guys. That's world's misunderstanding the Bible. But we are satisfied because of Christ. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are our satisfaction, that only in You we will find eternal, true satisfaction. Let us truly believe the truth, so that truth will set us free. Free from the lies of this world. The lies that trying so hard to make us believe the false things. But Father, You have given us a written truth. Let us study it very well. Let us know it and believe it, so that we will live the free life, the freedom from this world and sin. Oh Father, the world will do this and that, and the people belong to this world will live this way or that way for us. We will see Your face in righteousness, and we will be satisfied in Your likeness. We thank You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.